Praise the Lord. Well, it's lovely to be here again in Harrop. We always enjoy coming to Harrop. And we was brought up in Wyresdale, just the other side of the Trough of Borland. So the ground is very familiar to us. And I think it'll be 52 years since I first came to Harrop. And I came along to hear a young lady sing. She was in a group called The Followers, and she was singing here 52 years ago. And who would have thought that 52 years later she's singing here today? And she's been my wife for the last 51 years, praise the Lord. As I said, she was in a group called The Followers, and I became a follower. Praise the Lord. But just wonderful, and we've had a very exciting journey through life together over the past 51 years. Praise the Lord. Traveled to many parts of the world sharing the good news of the gospel. Just want to say I was absolutely delighted to hear the mayor sharing that wonderful testimony of God's miraculous power. And we've seen so much of that over the years. God is still on the throne, and God is still moving by his spirit. And, you know, the theme which was given to us regarding this weekend was revival. Will thou not revive us again, O Lord? And so continuing with that theme, and continuing with moving on in what God has got for us, I want us to look to Luke's gospel, and I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 24 and verse 44. Luke's gospel 24, verse 44. And this is Jesus speaking. Then he said to them, this was after Jesus had risen again from the dead. We heard Robert speaking earlier about Jesus rising again from the dead. Hallelujah. And that is a fact, that Jesus rose again from the dead. In fact, you know, when Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and he was speaking to his sister, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Great words he never spoke than that. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ wasn't only going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he said, I am the resurrection. And I want to tell every one of you here this afternoon, if you want to rise again from the dead, you've got to get to know Jesus. Yeah. Because he is the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. Praise his wonderful name. He has the power. And probably the greatest miracle that Jesus did was when he raised Lazarus from the dead after being dead for 4 days. And he raised him up again from the dead. He cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came walking out of the tomb after being there for 4 days. Absolute miracle. And well, he works miracles, doesn't he? We know that, and we've heard that from our mayoress this afternoon. I'm thrilled to hear that. So let's read these verses of scripture. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So if you look into the prophets and the law of Moses and the Psalms, you read many things in the Old Testament regarding Jesus Christ. Many, many prophecies of what Jesus would be, what he would do. And Jesus said that all these things must come to pass concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's the last few verses of Luke's gospel. But I just want to center my thoughts this afternoon around verse 49, when Jesus said to his disciples, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." You see, the disciples had a great commission. Jesus, the great commission that came to the disciples, and I believe it comes to you and I as God's people today, the great commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and take this good news, this message that Jesus not only died on a cross and paid the price for our sin, but he conquered death. That we and the Bible says that because he lives, we shall live also. Jesus conquered death for you and for me. And he said, "I am the resurrection." And he raised Lazarus from the dead. And one day, he's going to raise us all from the dead. Praise the Lord. One day, there's going to be a trumpet sound. And the Bible tells us the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive shall be caught up to meet with the Lord in the air. Yes. Praise the Lord. What a day. What a day that will be. Praise the Lord. So we need to know him. Paul said these words, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. We need to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. If we don't know Jesus, we'll never know the power of his resurrection. And I don't know about you, but I want to, one day, I want to rise again from the dead. You know, because we heard yesterday, a sure fact is that one day we're all going to die. And I'm 71 years old now, and that day is getting nearer. And quite exciting, isn't it? I was at a funeral. I was at a funeral just the other week. Lucy's auntie, and she was in her 100th year. Didn't quite make her 100th birthday. And 100 years old. And, you know, even at 100 years old, compared to eternity, life, our span of life is very short, isn't it? You know, and so we need to know Jesus Christ as our Lord, because the Word of God tells us, and we read in the Word of God, about an eternity spent with our Lord in heaven. And we can't begin to imagine what that will be like. The Bible tells us, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Praise the Lord. We can't even begin to imagine. I don't know about you, I can imagine some wonderful things, but we can't imagine what heaven is going to be like. You know, when John tried to describe it in the book of Revelations, he told us about the streets being paved with gold. Hallelujah. No more money worries up there. Praise the Lord. The streets are paved with gold in heaven. Glory to God. And so the disciples had a great commission. They carried the burden and they carried the responsibility of taking this message and preaching that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sin and that he rose again and he conquered death. And that was their commission to go and tell the world, and they did a good job of it. They did a good job of it. But Jesus said, "Don't go and start doing it until you've tarried in Jerusalem." Why? Because he said, "I'm going to empower you by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, that they were going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which gave them power to go out and preach the good news of the gospel. And suddenly, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they became fearless. If you remember a few weeks before this, when Jesus was taken to be crucified, when he stood before Pilate, the Bible tells us that they all fled. They all fled away, except one who was standing close by watching, and that was Peter, wasn't it? And a little girl came, and Peter was stood there warming himself by the fire that night when Jesus was in the judgment hall. And this little girl said, "Oh, you're one of his disciples." He got scared. because he could see what was happening to Jesus, and he thought, this is what's going to happen to me. And he got scared and said, no, I don't know him. How could he say that? Peter had spent 3 years with Jesus every day for 3 years, seeing the miracles and seeing all the wonderful things that had happened. He was on the boat. We've been hearing about Jesus on the boat and calming the sea. Well, Peter was on the boat. In fact, when Jesus was walking on the sea, they were so scared, they thought they'd seen a ghost. And Peter said, well, if it is really you, Jesus, tell me to come. I bet he wished he'd never said that. And Jesus said, well, come on then. Wow. And so Peter stepped out of the boat. And sometimes, you know, I've had a lot of preachers criticizing Peter for sinking. But Peter walked across the water, and he almost got to Jesus, and then he took his eyes off him. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. I'll tell you, friends, that's just like you and I. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus as we go through this life. Take your eyes off Jesus and you begin to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him back up again, and then he walked back. So Peter stepped out of the boat, he walked to Jesus, and he walked back again. So he did walk on the water, praise the Lord. We have a miracle working God. Amen. The disciples had the responsibility to take the gospel and preach the good news, beginning at Jerusalem. That's what Jesus said. And so he said to the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then if you go over into the Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 2, we read that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they were suddenly, the lives were completely changed from being afraid and denying Jesus when he was at the cross. And before Jesus was going to the cross that night, they all fled. And then when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they came out of the upper room and they preached the gospel with great power and great authority. And they became totally fearless in serving God and in preaching the good news of the gospel. They did a good job of it. And you know, almost every one of those disciples died a martyr. And yet they were fearless. The great commission had come into their hearts, and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they went out and they preached everywhere. In the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes when I read through the Acts of the Apostles, because the Acts of the Apostles is about the Acts of the Apostles. It's about what the disciples did after they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And you almost feel like you're running out of breath when you read what happened during the Acts of the Apostles. Everywhere they went, revival took place. Everywhere they went, people got saved, and the church began to grow, and the miracles were taking place, and it was just wonderful as you read through the Acts of the Apostles to see what God was doing in the early church. In fact, the very first day when they came out of the upper room, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up and he preached, and 3,000 souls got saved. That was the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Church of God. That was the beginning. Hallelujah. And it went from strength to strength as they went out everywhere preaching the gospel. But I believe, you know, that the Great Commission still stands today. It's passed down from generation to generation. And we talk about revival this weekend. The revival that we need is the power of the Holy Spirit, which will enable us to go out and preach the gospel and be fearless and see signs and wonders. We've heard about miracles this afternoon. Robert was sharing about the lady that received the miracle. We've heard about the miracle of this child, and I'm so thrilled to hear that this afternoon. God is a miracle working God, and he's still working miracles today. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the little miracles that happen to us, sometimes the big miracles that happen to us, and I'm sure many of us can testify of the wonderful things that God has done. You know, just earlier, at the beginning of this year, Lucy and I were heading out to Kenya to visit our school out there. And before we went, we had to get a visa. To get into the country, and we are not very good at getting visas online, and that's the only way we could get it. So we went round to see a friend, and what a difficult job we had. We spent about 4 or 5 hours sat at the computer, and we had to fill this form in, and every time you put something in that wasn't right, it just sent you back to the beginning. And our friend was almost throwing the computer out of the window by the time it was just absolutely terrible. And we spent probably 4 hours, didn't we? And eventually she said, "Oh, I've got it done." But you see, it kept kicking it back. And we hadn't noticed, but one time when it kicked it back, it actually altered some of the dates that we'd already put in. And we didn't notice it. She printed it off, we paid for the visa, and then, would you believe it, the night before we set off to go to Kenya, she rang us up. I thought, well, you better if you hadn't rung us up, really, because she gave us a sleepless night, because she said, "I'm just ringing to tell you there's a mistake on your visa, and both the dates of your birth are wrong. So your visa probably won't be worth anything." But that was like just a few hours before we set off to go to Manchester. So we thought, well, we'll just go anyway. So we got down to Manchester. We thought, we'll keep quiet about it. And we went to the check-in desk. And she checked us onto the plane and gave us our boarding passes. And then she said, "Can I just have a look at your visas?" I nearly fainted. I said, "Yeah, you can look at her visas." And she looked at them, and then she sort of looked at him, and then she walked off and had a word with somebody. Then she came back and she said, "You can't go to Kenya on these visas." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because your date of birth is completely different to what it is on the passport." I said, "Yeah, well," I said, "I believe it was a computer error." She said, "Well, we can't send you. We're not allowed to send you." So she said, "What you'll have to do," she said, "you two go and sit over there and reapply. You can get one electronically, just reapply." And I thought, this is going to be a nightmare. It took 4 hours to get the first one. And that was with somebody that knew what they was doing. And so we began to pray, and Lucy was almost in tears because we had to start taking photographs. And all we had was a phone. We had to get a photograph. It was impossible. And I said to Lucy, we're not going to go. And so we prayed, "Lord, just have your way." And then after we'd sat there sweating for about half an hour, the lady from the desk came up, she said, "Oh," and she was very helpful. She said, "I've just been speaking to the immigration authorities in Kenya, and they said to send you anyway. And they'll sort it out when you get there." So, well, that was the first miracle, praise the Lord. So we got on the plane and went, and we arrived in Kenya. And then we had to go to the, you know, to immigration. And I chatted with Lucy. I said, "Well, what we'll do, we'll both go to the same person. You can do the talking, because I'm a little bit out of here, and they talk funny in Kenya. They don't talk proper English, and I sometimes miss what they're saying." So I said, "It's better if we go together, and we'll sort it out together." But it was a funny feeling standing there, knowing that my visa wasn't worth anything. Anyway, we stood in the queue. It was about the last to go through, and I said, "Well, go to the same person." Well, just as we was about to go to this one person, the next desk came clear as well. So they said, you go there. So that scotched my plans. Anyway, Lucy went up, and he never noticed, stamped it, never even noticed it. So then Lucy came across. She was now on the inside of Kenya. I was on the outside of Kenya. And this dear lady noticed it. She said, "Oh," she said, "your visa's not right." I said, "Oh dear." I said, "You're not going to put me in prison, are you?" "Oh, no, nothing like that," she said. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we got through, praise the Lord. She said, "No problem." She said, "We'll sort it out." And she said, "Welcome to Kenya." Praise the Lord. But God works miracles, and God was working. And I wouldn't, you know, I mean, you wouldn't set off like that, would you? But we'd not much choice, really. But God's good, isn't he? God's good. But that, you see, the commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that was a commission that Jesus gave to the disciples. But he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." We need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to empower us, yeah, to go out and preach the gospel. The whole point of revival, the whole point of God's people being on fire for God, is not so that we can have wonderful, exciting meetings. That's part of it. But the whole purpose of it is that men might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Hallelujah. Lucy and I had the privilege in February of being in a church in Thailand, It's a children's home, and they've built their own church there, and it's about 40 to 50 young girls in this children's home, ranging from the age of 5 to maybe 16 or 17 years old. And just 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, they was having a meeting in that church, and the power of the Holy Spirit swept through that meeting with all these young children. And I have never been in anything like it for years, and absolutely powerful and anointed. And you know, the guy that runs the children's home and his wife, he said, you know, we was trying to encourage the young children to pick up the guitars and to learn to play the keyboard, but she said they just didn't want to know and they wasn't interested. And then he said one night, the power of the Holy Spirit swept through and said they were all led out on the floor, worshipping and praising God. And he said it went on almost all night. He said, these kids, they're just worshipping. He said, we just came away and left. He said, Lord, it's up to you. You deal with these kids. And the power of God just came upon them. And he said, they were all totally transformed that night. And he said, many of them have been brought up in Buddhism and have been worshipping ancestors and things like that. And he said, there were demons cast out that night. And he said, all things. He said, and we just left them to it. We just came out and left them to it. And he said, you know, every meeting has been like that with these kids ever since. And we was in that meeting that evening, wasn't we? And the young people was up there playing the guitars, playing the musical instruments. And he said, nobody taught them. They picked them up and played them themselves. And they just led the worship and praise. And the young girl at the front, she's probably about 15 years old. She led the praise, and she went around laying hands on people, and they were just getting so blessed and encouraged. The little kiddies at the front were only 5 years old, and they were worshiping and praising God. It's the anointing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that power, you know, those kids will never, ever be the same. And if when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're never the same again. It's revolutionized. It revolutionized. It's a definite experience being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And those disciples, after getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, were energized, and the power of God came upon them, and they went out and they preached the gospel everywhere they went, and many, many came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know, looking back over my life when I was 18 years old, I had the exact same experience, the power of the Holy Ghost. I'd got saved when I was 16, but I realized there must be something more than what I received when I got saved, and we began to seek after God. And one night we read in Acts chapter 2, how the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit and completely changed. Their lives were completely changed. And we began to seek after that, and we found it to be so true. You see, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. And the problem is, you know, as Christians, we get saved and we settle down and we stop asking and we stop seeking. We think, well, we've got this, we're right, we'll just sit back. And that's fine, but God wants you and I to be on fire for him. God wants to use. We're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to be witnesses. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can be powerful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that's exactly where they was at when the day of Pentecost came, in the upper room, worshipping and praying and seeking God, and the power of the Holy Spirit swept through. And the Bible says there was like tongues of fire came upon, hovered over every one of them, and they went out on fire for God. I'll tell you, folks, God wants you and I to be on fire for him. How do we get it? Seek after it. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. You know, we need to pray and seek after God with all of our heart, and God will pour out his Spirit upon us if we're hungry. We have an old saying in farming circles. I was brought up on a farm, and we used to say, you can take a horse to the trough, but you can't make it drink. You have to make it thirsty. You have to make it thirsty. And you and I need to be thirsty, thirsting for God and his fullness of Spirit. You know, let's be hungry and thirst after God. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says, shall be filled. And you know, folks, that's the beginning of an exciting Christian life. And you'll meet some trouble along the way. The more on fire you get for God, the more trouble you'll meet. The disciples met it. Every one of them died for the cause of the gospel. Hallelujah. Are we willing to die for the cause of Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, folks, if you get on fire enough, you'll be willing to lay your life down for the power of for the gospel's sake. We need to be on fire for God. So I'll share that with you this afternoon. We've had many, many wonderful experiences over the years as we've served God and seen miracles. I told you about the miracle of just getting into Kenya just early this year. And just want to finish with one little story, and I think it's wonderful. I've maybe shared it here before. Some of you are not here, but haven't heard it before. But, you know, a number of years ago, we have a children's home out in Burma. We've actually several children's homes. God called us into working with children 44 years ago. We started a children's home out in India. After that, we started another home in Nepal and then Thailand and Burma. And more recently, we've started a school out in Kenya. And we just see God provide every month. We have a miracle working God. But, you know, we built a second children's home in Burma, right up in the north. And one day, the girl that runs the children's home, she's in the south, but she's in control of both the homes. And one day she got a telephone call to say that the guy that had gone into the children's home in the north that day, a place called Patau, and he'd gone in to cook the meals. As he was going home on his bicycle, he had an accident. He got hit by a vehicle, and the handlebars swung round and stuck right into his side and ruptured his spleen. And they didn't know what was wrong with him. He was laid on the floor, and they carried him into the house, and he laid down, and every day he was getting worse. He was bleeding to death. And so they rang Ginsey, the girl that runs the home. She said, you better come. He's in a very, very poor way. So she got travelled all the way up to north, which is 800 miles. She had to take a flight. And she got there, and she saw that he was in a desperate situation. Took him to hospital, operated on him, and took his spleen out and stitched him all up. And he survived it. But like over there, there's no National Health Service. And so that left Ginsey with a bill for the hospital that she couldn't pay. And but the guy was living, so that was it. Always get the money from somewhere. And so she was flying back down to Yangon. And she was in the airport. And a lady came up to her, a lady from England, which was very unusual because Patau is way out in the mountains. Been in the airport a few times. And this lady came up to Ginsey and she said, excuse me, she said, yeah, she spoke in the Rwang language to Ginsey, her own language. She said, excuse me, she said, I really like the dress that you're wearing. And Ginsey said, oh, thank you very much. She was a bit shy, thank you very much. And they got chatting. And Ginsey said to this lady, where do you come from? Oh, she said, I come from England. And she said, I've been over here. My father fought in the war in Burma. And we've been over here on a visit. And been doing some bird watching up in the mountains. And Ginsey said, oh, I've been to England. And the lady looked at her. She said, you've been to England? She said, yeah, I've been to England. Well, where did you go to England? She said, I went to Preston. She said, you went to Preston? She said, people come to London when they come. No, she said, I went to Preston. And so they got chatting, and she said, well, we're supported from a church in England, and we run a children's home. And she said, I'm on my way back down there now to the home in Yangon. And the couple said, well, can we pop in and see you tomorrow? And she said, well, yeah, can do that. So she gave them their address, and they got down. She flew down, and I think it was on the same plane. They got back down to Yangon, and then the following day, they turned up. It was late. The taxi driver couldn't find the children's home, but he didn't want to miss his fare, so he said, oh, I know where it's at. But he didn't know where it was at, but he didn't want to miss the fare, so he said, jump in. Anyway, eventually he arrived at the children's home, and they were just having the evening devotions, and the kids were singing and worshipping God. And she said, I didn't know whether they were Christians or where they were from. But she said, all of a sudden, this lady's husband jumped up and said, Jesus is in here. I can feel his presence. And because the kids were worshipping God. And so Ginsey invited them up and spoke a little bit to the children. And then when he was going, she just turned to Genji and she said, "We've finished our holiday and we have a few dollars left." And so she said, "I'd like to give you these dollars." And Genji said, after they'd gone, she opened her hand and there was exactly the amount that the hospital bill, to the nearest penny, it was exact amount. God is a miracle working God. Hallelujah. So praise God, you know, folks, as we step out in faith, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit and go out and serve God, you will see miracles of God's provision. Amen. So God bless you all this afternoon. Amen. Praise the Lord.